Look at this stuff. Some cereal. It's supposed to be good for you. Did you try it?
I'm not gonna try it. You try it.
I'm not gonna try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah.
He won't need it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
Welcome to Marketing Murder Mysteries. I'm your host, Michael Graham. Joining me as usual is the team from Millennium Agency, CEO and Chief Strategist, Linda Fanaris. Hello.
Hello, Michael.
And our very own Frosted Flake, Rob Atkinson, Managing Director. Rob?
I'm great.
Advertising and marketing pros see it all the time. Brands getting killed in the marketplace, sometimes due to their own miscalculations, sometimes by events beyond their control, and sometimes even on purpose. Sometimes brands get killed because of shifting consumer preferences. And now the question is, how should your marketing change as consumer preferences shift? Breakfast cereals are a great example of this. We used to say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, not so much. Americans on average eat breakfast about 3 times a week, if at all. We've traded bagels for breakfast bars and bowls of cereal for cups of coffee. Cereal brands like Cheerios, Rice Chex, and Total are getting killed because of these changing consumer preferences. You're going to hear the case from our marketing detectives, and then you can hand down your own verdict. This week, we discuss the dangers of marketing brands in a changing preference environment. Did America finally kill Tony the Tiger? Okay, gang, I confess, I'm a huge breakfast cereal guy, absolutely. And Rob, oddly, you predicted that I was a huge Captain Crunch fan, which I am. The greatest cereal on planet Earth, Captain Crunch, period, end of story, put the rest in the bank. I'll tell you what else I'm loving, rocking, is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup cereal because it's got peanuts, peanut butter, and chocolate right in there. But Linda, there's the cereal story right there. There's 5 bazillion brands, including Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, Cheerios. The last number I saw, I think they've had now up to 20 different flavors because they do these kind of like boutique flavors. Like in the fall, they'll do the pumpkin Cheerio. I'm a huge fan of the maple, maybe because I'm here in New Hampshire, but love the maple Cheerios. And yet at the same time, the projection is, Rob, cereal sales?
Cereal sales are expected to go down over the next 5 to 10 years. Fewer Americans are eating, as you said, less and less breakfast. It's not as important as it used to be.
And then there's also the problem of dairy, Linda. I read an interesting comment from a marketer who said the problem with breakfast cereal is that it's lost its best friend, milk, and that fewer people are eating milk for health reasons, for environmental reasons, for whatever, and so they're not eating cereal. So,
Well, I'm actually still stuck on what you eat for breakfast. I mean, do you know that you're eating about 100% sugar?
You say like it's a bad thing. Rob, one of the strategies that General Mills has tried is that they've tried to basically make cereal a boutique product. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So they recently announced a new cereal called Morning Summit Maple Berry Blend Breakfast Cereal. What a mouthful, by the way. And boy, is it healthy.
How healthy is it?
Yay. Oh, I'm glad you're listening. Well, almonds are actually listed as the first ingredient on the box. And by the way, it actually says almonds are listed as the first ingredient on the box. I mean, they really drive home this point. But boy, is it pricey. At Costco, it's $15 for a 38-ounce box of the cereal. At Walmart, I don't know why, it goes for $26. And when you Google this cereal, there are some online retailers, I swear to God, are selling it for as much as $48 a box.
A box of cereal.
A box of cereal!
So I find it absolutely intriguing, the price spread on this, because to your point, I didn't see anything as high as $40, but definitely as high as like $35, going from $13 to $35. And what is incredible is, yes, okay, so there's almonds and they're saying this is super healthy and it's dried, has dried cherries and it has cranberries and so on and so forth. Frankly, I don't know. To me, it's just like any other cereal. It's full of sugar. Okay, dried cranberries and cherries are sugar. So I am not sure how they are boasting this as some super healthy special cereal that can expect to get paid $35 for. I'm just not getting it.
So the CEO, Jeff Hammering of General Mills, said the strategies to drive continued cereal growth is centered around launching compelling innovations that offer taste, convenience, and health benefits while investing in brand building. And that's why they launched this new cereal. But to your point, the health benefits, you know, I looked at the nutritional value. It's okay. It's better than Cookie Crisp.
Hey, don't you diss the Cookie Crisp. Let's not get away from the broader picture here, which is the fact is that Americans are changing how we eat. Breakfast cereal doesn't fit in with how we're eating now. What should marketers do when shifting preferences are impacting sales that have nothing to do with your you know what I'm saying? Like, your message was fine 2 years ago. It's not that people have decided that they don't like your brand. They've decided they don't like your industry, you know, your product. What are they supposed to, what would you say?
Well, I think they still like the product. They just don't like it for breakfast. And so you really need to kind of reposition the brand for maybe it's a snack. Maybe it's for dinner. Maybe it's a healthy alternative that you hadn't considered before. But just by raising the price of the cereal doesn't make it more valuable to me.
Right. You know, and the other thing is, I mean, there's so much competition in that space. I mean, everybody in this room has walked down the cereal aisle. But not only do you have the cereal in the cereal aisles, you have the protein bars, and you have the this bar, and the muscle bar, and the that bar, and the breakfast bar, and then you have the breakfast drink, and then you have all these other alternatives, and it's just getting more and more competitive. So what are they trying to do? Stand out from the crowd. They're just saying, we have this super healthy, incredible, organic, we even put, you know, coconut, fresh coconut in it, and you should pay $35 for it. I do not see this helping their brand.
I agree. I you know, if they're looking to, I guess the best example is craft beer makers, right? I can go and buy a six pack of Budweiser for $6, right? But a craft beer locally produced, a four pack probably goes anywhere from $18 to $23. Now, the difference though is on the craft beer side, I can't make that beer and it's good. So I'll have to buy it from them if I want that. But I could go and buy the cereal mix at home and probably mix it for $5 that will last me for a month, right? I mean, they don't have the corner, they don't have the whole industry quartered on, what was it, coconuts and
almonds and cranberries and cherries. I mean,
these are all common ingredients found at the supermarket.
So let me ask you about another shifting preference. So it's happening right now, yet again. We've had these waves where people go through phases where it's the Atkins protein time, the low-carb thing. And I know there were stories when the low-carb movement got really hot where pasta companies and cereal makers, whatever, were just like, oh my gosh, our sales are, you know, plummeting because people are deciding that they suddenly want to eat, you know, bacon and eggs and pork chops, and which are all good, by the way. But you know what makes bacon, eggs, and pork chops better? Cereal. Right on top. It's fantastic. So once again, from the marketing standpoint, what do you do, Linda, when the, you know, people are simply saying, your product is now on, you know, out of favor or on the side? Do you, what are your strategies from a marketing standpoint?
You know, the only thing, I mean, maybe this could be a possibility. I mean, maybe they're launching this extraordinarily highly priced cereal box and they're saying that it's super healthy and it's very unique and it's like handcrafted, basically, and they're coming out with this $35 price tag to bring attention to this brand. So if they are losing market share, which it sounds like they are, you know, does this achieve their goal? And is their goal just to bring some attention to their brand, you know, make a big deal out of this super healthy cereal, and then over some time, they'll start to lower the price of this to maybe $4 a box or $5 a box. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But there could be some other tactics or other ideas that they're thinking of behind this that we're just simply not aware of.
Rob, what do you do when people decide that milk is not good food and they simply just they're not drinking as much milk? What do you do if you're in the milk industry?
It's actually interesting. When you look at the numbers of people drinking less milk and cereal consumption, they do go hand in hand. They are cereal's best friend. There are milk alternatives, though, that people could use, almond milk and other things that are perceived as healthier. But you still have to make that connection in the consumer's eyes and reinvent how they consume a product. If they think milk and cereal, then you need to introduce the other product. And I don't think by going, you know, coconut flavored is the solution to that. They need to solve the problem that you're not drinking milk, try this, and pair up with it, team up with a brand, another brand, to make that connection stronger.
But what about milk? What should people who sell milk do if milk is out of favor?
So milk is a perfect example. So every year we hear, oh, milk is bad for you. 2 years later, milk is good for you. Chocolate milk, you should do it after exercise. You know, so it goes back and forth. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, it is changing consumer preferences, but a lot of it is big companies, I hate to say this, who, you know, have an invested interest in claiming more of that shelf space at the dairy aisle, right? If you go into the supermarket today, there's milk, but on the dairy aisle, there's all sorts of things that have no milk in it whatsoever. I mean, it's not even close to a cow, right? And yet they call it dairy, you know? So, you know, you kind of have to take this with a grain of salt and realize that consumer preferences are changing to be healthier, but we still don't have all the data on how that all plays out.
So let me ask it this way, Linda. Is the smart marketing play to distribute information to change the consumer's views? In other words, milk's great. Oh, no, that's your, you know, I remember when eggs went through this. Eggs were going to cause heart attacks. And so eggs rebranded themselves because they got out the information that it's actually not as high in cholesterol and that doctors recommend a certain amount of eggs. So they were basically giving up on the big mega omelet, but they were keeping you with the egg with a side of dry toast, you know, kind of thing. Or is a smart play to market your product to somehow get in the slipstream of where people are already going? Oh, you already want low, we'll do low carb breakfast cereal, or we'll do milkless milk.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And I think, you know, in this case, there is so much competition that cereal brands are probably having a very challenging and difficult time differentiating themselves from all of the other brands that they have. Because there are healthy brands out there. There are all sugar brands out there, the ones that you absolutely love. And then, you know, there's the ones that are in between. But why didn't maybe General Mills take a different approach? Let's say they had a cereal like this. Let's say they had like super chunky cereal, right? Something a little different. This is just an idea. Super chunky cereal. And the strategy is, yeah, it's $13 a box, but guess what? You can have it for lunch, or you can use it as an afternoon snack, or why not have this for dinner instead? So maybe taking some other tactics around how to build this brand and taking another angle and positioning it in a different way versus this high-priced special organic cereal that happens to be in the same aisle with all the sugary cereals, and just buy ours because it's more expensive, frankly. I just don't buy it.
So, you know, I think they have the solution at hand. They've even gone through this before. So a few years ago when they launched Frosted Flakes in South Africa, they were really excited about the possibility of expanding the brand globally, but sales tanked there, and they couldn't understand why. So when they went to South Africa to actually see why it was tanking, they realized that nobody in South Africa uses milk with their morning routine. Instead, they pour hot water on everything. Well, if you ever had a bowl of Frosted Flakes and hot water, you know it's awful.
Right? Well, I have kids, so yes, I've actually had the Frosted Flakes and water.
They were really smart. So they identified the problem, and then they went back to market with a Frosted Flake that was more like a oatmeal mix that could be added with water. Mm-hmm. So they solved the problem of customer preferences in South Africa, and they need to do that with changing customer preferences in America. And to your point, Linda, make it so it's exciting to eat it for a lunch alternative, dinner alternative, or some other way.
Right.
I have the solution.
What is it?
It's called Oreo cookie cereal. Oreo O's, which are real, and they're pretty good, but not as good as golden Oreo O's, which are the the vanilla version of it, which are not nearly as good as the Mega Stuff Oreo O's breakfast cereal, which is really good right next to the Nilla Wafer banana pudding cereal, the Nutter Butter cereal, and one of my top 10 novelty faves, the Sour Patch Kids breakfast cereal, because it rocks.
Yeah, no wonder why 1 in 4 Americans are obese.
Diabetes.
Diabetes.
You know, I hope you're buying the ones that they actually, you know, inject vitamin D and C and calcium and fiber and all of those into
it. If they inject it with lard, I'll take that if they would do that. And there you have it. The Case of Shifting Preferences, and Did America Finally Kill Tony the Tiger? The cases have been made, and now it's time for you to give your verdict. Let us know your thoughts at mill.agency/verdict or slide into our DMs on Twitter at millagency. We will read the best ones in an upcoming episode. Make sure you never miss a mystery by subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or your podcaster of choice. For Linda and Rob, I am Michael Graham. We will see you next time. For now, the case is closed.